This is part two of a message by David Ebal entitled The Feast of Tabernacles.
And of course, really the Holy Spirit is trying to overcome the soulish realm. Every time we read anything that the Holy Spirit is doing, he's always overcoming what we're thinking. Yeah.
In other words, you're saying that the mind and the soul are equivalent words, but these others, emotion, intellect, will, attitudes, are all different aspects of the mind or of the soul.
Well, not quite. In fact, Jesus says, like for instance, he said, you're on the right track. Here's the way Jesus does. He said, is not the soul more than eat and drink and raiment? All right, then the soul realm includes what we eat, because he says it's more than what you eat. Well, now, what you eat and what you drink and your raiment are all acted upon by your mind. The whole, I don't know how to say it, the whole of man's attitudes toward anything. The word, I like attitude best.
Say it like, if you don't have food and drink and raiment, then your soul is going to go through a little
traumatic. Yeah, your soul will be troubled, to say the least. Yeah. And really, a man's soul, an unregenerate soul, all he's thinking about is what he eats, drinks, puts on, you know, all of the things that Gentiles seek after. But the mind qualities are, well, like Bonneville Pontiacs and split-level homes and so forth, they're all part of that same total picture. And so, soul is bigger than just mind, Brother Cross. Okay. Mind is part of the soul, but soul is bigger than mind. Now, the best word I got is attitude, because your attitude is framed by how you lived before, what your daddy told you, what your girlfriend or boyfriend thinks. Do you see what I'm talking about? So your attitudes are based on this total thing, but yet your attitudes are always, in the soul realm at least, toward what you eat, what you think, drink, and what you put on, and, you know, all these things that the Gentiles are seeking after. So the Holy Spirit is actively trying to get a hold of your soul realm, which is mind or attitude. God, in the future, and I think very shortly, and maybe this week, this is the week now for this experience. Now look, the Passover experience happened on a certain day at an exact time in God's timetable. Jesus was crucified, the Lamb. The Holy Spirit came when the day of Pentecost was fully come. The first thing he did was take over the soul and act a drunk. You know, that's gets your mind right away. It's always mind, even the things that happen when the Holy Ghost hits you are mind-oriented. And I'm convinced that God, in his timetable, is going to move in the Feast of Tabernacles the same way. God himself will inhabit the body, change the body, at the right time, during this time. Now, it might be... Now, so that you're... let's see if you're with me. You know, nobody knows when Jesus is going to come. Nobody knows the hour or the day or the week or the month or the season, right? But you, brethren, are not in darkness, as that day should come upon you as unawares. All right? This means that when it happens, you'll not be surprised as a brethren, you know, that's in the Word and studying and moved by the Holy Spirit. So there won't be any surprise. You can take it for what it's worth, but it does appear as though very shortly the church should enter into this next column. We've had this column. We've had our Passover. Our spirits have been saved. We've had our Pentecost. The Holy Ghost has worked on us and is changing our soulish nature. We are expecting very shortly God himself to enter this realm and change the BODY, the body. Physical body. Spirit, soul, body. Jesus, Holy Ghost, God. Jesus already came to the spirit, the Holy Ghost already came to the soul, and God will just very shortly come to the body. However, this is always at the time appointed of the Father, and it's at a, in this year, should take place somewhere right in this period here. Starting with today, glory, that ought to give you goosebumps.
Mike.
Are you saying then that when this happens, we fulfilled it, will happen at this time of year?
Well,
we don't know what year.
Don't know what year, and I can't even prove it's going to be this time of the year. All I can say is that all these patterns hold out perfectly.
You would be inclined to think it's going to be this time of year.
There's no. In fact, we have evangelist friends who won't take meetings during this time, but stay home with their family. Always during the Feast of Tabernacles, because of the pattern that's developed. I mean, you can see the pattern; it's so obvious. What else is there left to assume? Well, Jesus is the Passover Lamb. He came to the Spirit. The Holy Ghost came at Pentecost into the soul. Well, what else is there to assume then? But God will come into the body at the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, there's. Yeah, well, this is the. Well, when we get to that, we got to prove what Tabernacles is yet. But you see what I'm driving at, that would be a. There's no other conclusion to come to the pattern, yeah.
I got a problem. The prophecy to pour out the Spirit upon all flesh. That would be the body, and you're saying that the baptism of the Spirit is in the mind. Now, how do you relate that?
I think the word flesh here has to do with the word flesh that was in our lesson last week, because the shocking thing that they could not understand is that God could pour out His Spirit upon woman flesh. And to me, the word flesh has to do with sex in this case. And I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and immediately says your sons and daughters. So to me, when he's speaking of all flesh, he is, in this sense at least, referring to the whole group of people here, in this case, women and men. Because up to this time, we had never considered women as, even in God's plan, really, hardly. You know, they traded them like cattle. And so, to me, this all-flesh thing refers to the men and women. And of course, if you'll think in terms of the, actually what happened, where'd he come? Right into here. Change this, mouth, words.
Moving on your flesh through your mind.
Yeah, but it's always through the mind, the Holy Spirit. And of course, we gave all kinds of scriptures a couple of weeks ago, I think. Do you remember that one on spirit, soul, and body? Where we took all the soul scriptures. And every time we find the soul scriptures, we find the Holy Spirit. The interplay with the Holy Spirit is at the soul. All of the soul scriptures had the Holy Spirit moving on them. Like, for instance, James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. 1 Peter 1:22 talks about, let's see, how does that go? Receive the truth through the Spirit for the saving of your soul. It connects all the...
I've been kind of curious. What's
the thing? Well, that's a good question, but I just spent 2 hours on it 2 weeks ago, and I don't know how to bring you up real quick, reasonably. All right, here's the best way I can say it reasonably, and you'll just have to. I can't prove this to you. I spent hours and hours proving it to the people, and they had lots of scriptures. But all I can say is this: Spirit is the inner man, heart. I'm going to do this again up here because I do feel that you ought to follow this. Spirit, right here, this column is your inner man. Jesus comes into the what? Heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The heart's door. This is a heart, inner man, bowels, wherever it speaks of any of the inner organs, it speaks of your spirit. Then it talks about the soul, and whenever it talks about the soul, it talks about intellect, mind, well, here.
Life.
Here, I think I just
have to put one of these away.
I might be able to...
The thing that showed me the most was when you traced the word for soul, the same word that is used for mind in most cases, and used for life.
The Zoe.
In the New Testament.
The Suki Zoe. Well, this one here is not the one that you were referring to, but it's close. Whenever you find the word soul, to answer your question, I forget your name. What is it?
Mike.
You find the soul has thought or no thought. The soul can be sought or it can be destroyed. It can be found or lost. You can find rest for it. You can please it. You can save it or lose it, give it, love with it, or be sorrowful in your soul. Now, where is the seat of sorrow? Where is the seat of pleased, being pleased? Where is the seat of thought? See? It says the Holy Spirit shall bring all things to your what? Give me the word.
Remembrance.
You see what I'm talking about? So always when we think in terms of the Holy Spirit coming to a man, the ground that he's working on is the man's mind, soul.
Will you
mind.
Go along with this, that a soul can also have the emotions and the will that's involved?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just
wondered about a few things that I've had taught to me, and I've just been listening. I'm just going to sit and listen. I'm enjoying myself.
Okay. Yeah, the soul can... Well, really, your attitude. If you'll go back to the word attitude, notice that your attitude is based on your emotion. Whether you're a strong-willed person or weak-willed, whether you always think. And to me, the best word is still, I still have to say, your attitude. For instance, your attitude toward God. Your attitude toward God, well, when you're in a terrible tragedy and someone has just wrecked the side of your new car. Just run down the side of your new car, you know. And what's your attitude? Or what was your attitude when you won that car at the supermarket? You know, at the drawing at the supermarket, see? Now, what I'm trying to get at is that there are different attitudes here. And your attitude is a combination of your intellect, your emotion, your will, your smartness and dumbness, your... all your environment, how you were brought up by your father and mother. You see what I'm talking about on all these things. To me, the best word is attitude. I haven't found a better one yet than in the soulish realm. Okay, I don't know where I was, but I'll...
Does the word tabernacle mean like a place of church or place of mind?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to try to get to now, the tabernacle. Okay. The tabernacle here... In this particular feast is something more than just a church or dwelling. In the tabernacle feast, it's a booth or tent. And that's what we're going to get to now. First, I still want to prove go to Exodus 23. We've had our Deuteronomy scripture, haven't we? Did we read Deuteronomy 16, 16 three times? Then go to Exodus 23. Verse 14, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread, there's your Passover. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I command thee, in the time appointed the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And this is the second feast now, the feast of harvest, which is the first fruits of thy labors. There's where we get the idea of first fruits. Which thou hast sown in the field. And the third feast, the feast of ingathering, which is at the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, and so forth down it goes. Now, let's see, where is this? Oh, yeah, 19. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Now, that particular verse right there is the reason that in Jewish homes you'll find two sets of pans and two sets of dishes, because In a real Orthodox Jewish home, they never put meat and milk together. Some dishes are just for milk and milk products, and some dishes for meat, and they're never together because it says thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. It's called kosher. And if you get into a real kosher or an Orthodox home, that's the reason for that. I just threw that in for what it's worth. Now, back up for just a minute. Verse 16 says, at the feast of harvest, that's the first fruit of thy labors, that's the second one, which thou sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, that's this one down here, the last one, which is the end of the year, of course you call October toward the end of the year, that's the last one, which thou hast gathered in the labors out of the field. Now, you're going to find out that as we go through this thing, that in order to get the total picture of each feast, we got to go through a whole lot of scriptures. We got to pick some out of Leviticus, some out of Exodus, some out of Numbers. You see what I'm doing? And we're gathering information and planting various pieces of information to the right feast, because it's not all in one spot. The closest we can get to it is in a minute. All right, go to 34, Exodus 34, and we'll pick up just a little bit more. Thou shalt observe, Exodus 34 now, Thou shalt observe the feast of weeks. The first fruits of wheat harvest. And in the and the feast of ingathering in the year's end, well, really, I guess we'll go to verse 18. Let's pick it up at 18.
Excuse me. You were speaking of three and one, these others?
Yeah.
Now, notice there they speak of the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering. Is that more than one feast in one there, according to that?
No, weeks is up here, and ingathering is down here. Now, the second time in Exodus 23 called this ingathering.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's just a little... I know it's pretty difficult.
Thank you.
To
there's
keep
there's
on...
There's three in April, and then there's one in June, and then there's three in October. Just the timing of the year makes it three.
Yeah. This is 14th, 15th, and 21st of April. I mean of Nisan. This is one day, just one day. And this is from the 1st to the 22nd of Tishri, October. Okay. Now let's try this again. I'll start with verse 18. The feast of unleavened bread thou shalt keep. That's this first one up here. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread as I command thee in the time of the month of Abib.
Passover itself was 1 day, and the unleavened bread was 7 days.
Right.
Making a total of 8 days.
Mm-hmm. It's an 8-day feast, total. All that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among the cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem him not, then shalt break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons shalt thou redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. That's this day right here, 21st. We'll get that in a minute, prove it in a minute. And thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks. This is the second one now, number 2.
I lost you. What
reference
are you on?
22 now. I'm at verse 22. Of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and also the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. You see, I added that also in there in order to just emphasize that. Thrice in the year, verse 23. 1, 2, 3. That means thrice. Shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Now that always wondered me, the way the Pennsylvanians say it, how it would be that all the men leave the city, go up to Jerusalem for 21 days, or for these 8 days, and you know, all the bad guys and the criminals and all those, looks like they'd have a heyday when everybody's gone. But God said, according to verse 24, that no man shall desire that land. When you go up and you're here, there won't be any crime. There'll be no criminals to take anything away during this particular period. Now I'm interested, we've said it, what we've done here is the introduction says that at Passover and at Pentecost, everything happens when Passover was come, Jesus knew his time had come. When Pentecost had come, the Holy Ghost came. Well then, when Tabernacle comes, God comes. Do you follow that logic? When, shake your head one way or the other, say yes or no. This is very important. Man, this is tremendous. Passover, Jesus came, John 13:1. He did his work at Passover, for he was the Lamb. Pentecost, Acts 2:1, the Holy Ghost came. There's your second feast of the year. Now, look what this does. It proves to you the importance of going on, not stopping anywhere in God, but determining in your heart the way God's moving and move with God. There are those who would like to stop when the water comes out of a rock, make a camp, and stay there all the rest of their lives. But I'm not satisfied to stop there. I'm headed for a promised land. You see, you can't stop. Now, we're not saying that those former steps were baby steps. It's an extremely important thing to get saved and let Jesus come into your heart. But that's not the end of it. Now you got to let the Holy Ghost in your head. Finally, God will get in your body and then you'll get all the way saved. Some people wonder why they're not all the way saved. Well, the reason that I'd say the main reason that you're not all the way saved right now is your head isn't. Every time that it uses the word Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, it talks about the soul and its present progressive tense verb, and that means it's being saved. Right now, you are being saved in this realm. You have been, past tense, in your spirit, but you are being saved in your mind. Now, the three feasts, I'm going to spend a whole lot more time on this chart, Lord willing. You've seen down this side, these are the Jewish year, months. These are the equivalent, as close as you can get it, equivalent English months. And the three feasts of the year. Now this feast here is called the Passover. See, I've written it on the side, Passover. It's also underlined here, Passover. This feast here is Tabernacles, written on the side, also underlined, is the third one. The second one is First Fruits in the Hebrew, or Pentecost in the Greek. The first part of the chart of the second feast, the second feast right here, is in Hebrew. The second is in Greek. Hebrew calls it First Fruits, Greek Pentecost, but it's the same thing. So when we talk about the Feast of Pentecost, we're also talking about First Fruits. Now we're going to Leviticus 23. Let's see, I believe I can run that down for you. Yeah. Leviticus chapter 23. Now you understand, don't you, that an awful lot. Let's see if you do. In a book of Hebrews, what's it say? Mount Sinai, this spoke of Hagar. Mount Zion, this speaks of Sarah. Didn't you remember that? Well, it's still so, whether you remember it or not. Mount Sinai speaks of Hagar, and Mount Zion speaks of Sarah and her offspring. Now, what I'm trying to show you is that in the New Testament, It goes to the Old Testament for its types and its shadows. The type of Israel is Mount Zion. The type for the Arab nation is Hagar or Sinai. That's the law. You're following? You see, and what I'm trying to, I want you to see the types and shadows all are drawn from the Old Testament. And they speak to us of things in the New Testament. Yes?
Can I ask a question? You said something about, we should dig deeper. We should want to know as much as we can. There's so much there. And so that we can, you said, I want to go to the promised land. Is that how you said it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about those people that are saved, that are Christians, that love the Lord, but don't know how to find it? They don't have the intelligence to find it themselves. I mean, here I sit, and I don't quite grasp what you're saying. And I have the opportunity to come here and listen, but I still don't really understand what you're getting into. I might at the end. But what's going to happen to people that never have the opportunity to dig deeper?
All right. That's a very reasonable question.
I'm worried about people like my dad. I mean, you know, people that are saved and receive the Holy Spirit.
Anyone who is saved and received Jesus into their heart has a place in heaven.
You mean we all won't be at the same place? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm getting to. This determines your place in heaven. And if you can make it to this realm, you'll be alive and remain on earth and have heaven on earth.
This message by David Ebal, entitled The Feast of Tabernacles, will continue on cassette number 2.